Welcome, my friends. I'm here with my buddies Daryl and Ed, and we're going to be speaking to you today about how to be a vocal PM if you. Have nothing to say. How can you be a vocal PM? Now let's break it down. What is a vocal PM? A vocal PM is a PM that has a voice, right? You need to understand that in this world of project management, you need to have something to say based on your experience, based on your understanding of process groups, knowledge areas, agile, people, process. Business. What you have to say as a project management professional is based on your understanding of EI, emotional intelligence, based on empathy, based on your understanding, okay, we've just had this really heated conversation. I see Daryl has been a little bit quiet. Let me ask Daryl, what are you thinking? What do you have to add? So being a vocal PM is not just you being vocal for yourself, it's you being vocal for others. It's you being a voice for others, like bringing others to the conversation. It's about you bringing sensibility to chaos. So for any project manager who wants to be vocal, it shows that maybe you're not vocal, maybe you're sidelined. That could also be a problem because this is a people business. So, as a project manager, especially a project management professional, get the memo. You are meant to speak. What does it say? The project manager spends 70 to 90% of the time communicating. Now, when you speak, make sure you're speaking sense, make sure you're speaking fact, not fiction, but also make sure you're speaking for others. Make sure you're bringing a sensibility of process, of order, of structure. Make sure that you're thinking of others and how they will feel. You have some vocal PMs, they're so brash, they might be trying to shut people down. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about adding value. So my mantra is, if it's not valuable, don't do it. If it is valuable, do it. If being vocal is bringing some vocal value, and you want to do it. And you ask yourself, what value can I bring? Well, that's what the PMI schools us on in all of these big old books, the guides, the agile practice guide. What does it say about this? In this, on page 50 or 49, it tells you that you should develop a team understanding, a team charter, a social contract. So part of being a vocal PM is, hey, team, this is what we should probably think or consider doing, or even better still, hey team, what do you think we should do? As opposed to just keeping quiet and let other people just talk without direction, you are bringing management to the project. That's why you're project manager, right? Project management, you're bringing management. What is management? Management is the administration of process. Procedures, guidelines, and structure. And a lot of times, all we need is a little bit of structure. Now, for the agile zealots out there who say those predictive people, they have too much structure, that's a bit hypocritical because in the world of agile, guess who has structure? We do. We have the four values, the 12 principles. It's just yesterday, PMI came out with this. This has been on the scene for over 20 years. So it's silly to say we don't need structure. Yes, we all do need structure. But being a project manager and being a vocal PM is bringing that structure awareness. We're not saying draconian structure. We're talking about value-based structure, where just a little bit of structure, just a little bit of guidance, having a team charter, having some sort of social contract and understanding can go very far. Having some guardrails, like in the world of Agile, when we have our daily scrum or daily stand-ups, we say 15 minute, no more. Why is that? It's for the structure purposes. When we respect the structure, we free people up to do more, we become more efficient. So part of being a vocal PM needs to be being vocal about what you know. Project management, professional. What is a professional piece of it? The knowledge, the skills, the tools, the techniques, the understanding of people, process, and business, the understanding of how to effectively integrate, how to effectively scope and schedule and cost, and bringing in the conversations at the right point for quality, for resources, for communications. There's so much you should know about risk. and procurement and stakeholder. So to be on a project as a project management professional or as a project manager who should know his or her salt and not having something to say, oh my goodness, you need to go back to the School of Ed. The School of Ed. Where's the School of Ed's famous book? Is hiding somewhere here. Where's his famous book? You need to go to the School of Ed. The School of Ed says you got to be a magnetic project manager. In order to be a magnetic project manager, you need to have a voice. You need to have something to say. I'm going to quote from page 46 of the book. And Ed says, Ed, the guy here, this guy, I don't know which side he's going to end up being. But Ed says, when managing communication on a project team, foster open and transparent communication. This can be achieved by establishing clear lines of communication where everyone on the team understands their roles and responsibilities. Encouraging, you see where this vocal idea is coming from. Encouraging team members to share their ideas. A lot of team members are like, oh, I don't want to talk because they're going to think I'm dumb. No. So being a vocal PM is drawing it out. We use the word elicitation in project management. It says, encouraging them to share ideas, concerns, and feedback. And it can help identify potential issues early on, prevent misunderstanding, and build trust. And Ed says, creating a culture of transparency and honesty is critical for collaboration. So, how can you be a PM without being vocal? It means that you may not be doing what you're supposed to be doing. By the way, you can find this awesome book. Everywhere books are sold, you can find this on Amazon. It's by my buddy Ed. And honestly, to be a vocal PM is part of the magnetic properties. Ed, hit me. Come on.
What's so funny, Phil? Just recently, I subscribed to a newsletter by James Clear. He wrote The Atomic Habits, and this really aligns with today's conversation. He said something, and I quote, "It's remarkable how often real problems is not what happened, but how it was communicated." I think that is big because a lot of times when someone is communicating or a project manager is trying to be vocal, they miss the biggest part of how do you communicate that particular problem. Meaning, if we're in a meeting and you think communicating, trying to embarrass someone or the rest in front of the rest of their peers is going to go well. No, now we're going to talk about tactics. How about we pull that stakeholder aside and have a conversation, vocal. Being vocal means when we're in a meeting and you notice that you have people that are dominating the call, how do I ensure, because part of my role is to what? Facilitate. How do I ensure that I'm able to go around the room and engage people easy? Let me call on Phil. Let me call on Daryl and ask them individually. It's something about when we hear our name, now we feel more relaxed and we want to engage. And plus, when you have those people who are not one of those people that want to talk, but when you get them to talk and you're like, why haven't you said this during the whole meeting? Like, it can really improve. So you have to have that ability. So as a PM, it is imperative. Matter of fact, it's important that you have the courage and you have it has to start with self, because a lot of times we keep putting wanting to get all these tools and all of these techniques and getting all these artifacts to really drive a project when, again, what Bill said, projects are people. So how do we ensure that we create a connection, a real connection, or a watch this family, a magnetic connection with the people that are part of our project? We do that by building actual conversations outside of the day-to-day meeting so we can ensure that we gain their confidence as well as we're building up our own confidence. And when we're having questions and when we have to have those crucial type of conversations with the individual, they know we're coming from a place of delivering value and not coming from a place of we're just trying to make ourselves look good. Because whenever, as a PM, you can't set your team up for success, then it's not going to help you long term. You are the coach. And we always know in any coaching business, the coach is always the first to go. It doesn't matter if the players were slacking, but it's the coach. Another technique that I would recommend is when you are in meetings and you have a purpose, you have an outcome of what the particular meeting is going to be about. You want to also ensure that when you start having conversations that do not align with what we all agreed upon or what the purpose and the outcome of this meeting, we're going to do something called a parking lot. What is a parking lot? When I was young, Phil, don't judge me, but when I couldn't get into a club that I really enjoyed being at because you had to be 18 or over, we would sit in a parking lot. Back in the day, they would call that parking lot, we're going to call it having a good time. And we would have more fun in the parking lot than we would actually getting into the club. And what I learned there, though, is that sometimes the conversations that were happening inside the club kind of spilled out into the parking lot. What am I saying here? This is when you're in meetings, you want to ensure you have an area called parking lot. What this does is that we want to show the stakeholder, yes, we think what you're saying is important. Matter of fact, it's probably stellar. However, it doesn't align where we're currently at, but that doesn't mean where we're currently going is not going to help us grow. So let me take what you just said and put over here in this parking lot. And then what we'll do is either A, we'll either have another meeting around some of these things if they're all bunched in that same area, or B, if we have the time based on where we finish at this conversation, we start attacking each parking lot item that's on that particular list. Okay, Phil, I'm going to turn it back over to you. Thank you.
Ed, that was fantastic. A lot of nuggets. As you were speaking, it just dawned on me a lot of PMs haven't gotten the memo. You cannot be a PM and say, I just want to stay at the corner of my office sending reports, sending emails, not picking up the phone, not going to people to speak to them. No, that is not it. Hey, newsflash. The PM spends a lot of time communicating. Ed talks about how the top 2%, look at the book very carefully. It's a property you want to have. The top 2% of project managers, as voted by their colleagues and their peers, are those that had superior leadership, communication skills. And part of communicating is exchanging a message. Sharing, understanding. If you're a PM and you're not willing to speak, if you're a PM and you don't even remotely understand that you are a catalyst for others to speak, hey, get the memo now. You need to have a voice. And you need to have a voice not just to speak anything, but to speak value, to bring sense to the table. Really understand this. It's hard to find a PM who is truly doing their job and I'm quiet naturally. I don't want to say anything. I'm shy. No, leave your other properties outside of the project. When you come into the project, you are going to evolve. Like the great Richard Branson said, he evolved, right? When he found himself in the epicenter of the project and the organizations he created, he very quickly became someone who speaks. The same for all of you who are project managers and say, I'm naturally not a man or woman of many words. And maybe get off your high horse and how about becoming someone of multiple words of value? I'm not saying just blab, but I'm saying you got to overcome that inertia to speak because it is devaluing your projects. How many of you are project managers that at the office, you're a mouse? But when you get back home, all of the gripes come out. Now you don't have trouble speaking. I used to be like that. Don't be like that. Do your talking in the meeting, right? With respect, right? Ed is saying if it's outside of context, let it be outside of context, but in a parking lot. But you got to develop this mindset of being vocal, being a voice for those that don't have it. Being a voice to share the vision where people don't understand and everyone's keeping quiet. No one wants to be honest. I don't get the vision. I don't understand the requirement. I don't understand. You got to be a voice. Daryl, we would love to hear from you, buddy. Speak to us, talk to us. How can someone who is generally not a vocal person be vocal in the job as a PM?
Bill, I'm going to play devil's advocate with this situation, depending on how long we have in this conversation. The way I see it is, as a project manager, project management is an art, and you have to master your craft in order for you to be a successful PM in any business or company you are with. However, with a PM that does not have anything to say, that may be self-induced because of society today, with specific words you can't say throughout the work environment. Like something new that came up, we can't say all hands anymore in the corporate world because that might be offensive to somebody, or using specific pronouns or gender. So as a person and as a human being, sometimes it's best not to say anything. However, you are right, and Ed's also right, that project management is a people business, and if you are able to provide that confidence in yourself to at least influence a better way of communicating, as in treating others with respect and giving the opportunity for others to speak without gaslighting, because we all gaslight today. We love gaslighting. That's today. And I get that from my 16-year-old daughter. But I'm learning as I go, and I'm learning as I go as a father, and I apply that to my career as well. So yeah, that's gonna this is a tough one to dissect. It all depends on the room and in the environment you're in as a PM. Hope that answers your question.
Very good food for thought.
Hey, Daryl, I want to expand on that because you make a great point about the climate of conversation. Let's say that, a climate of conversation. And what I'm realizing is that it's one of those things too where you have to learn your audience. And how do you learn your audience is by developing relationships with these people, outside of the day-to-day, meaning when you get a chance, a 10-minute quick conversation. Hey, how's things? How's the family? Oh, I know you got two sons. How are the two sons going? And trying to get a feel of, where they stand and things of that nature. So really the development of really building a relationship. And it's sometimes it is challenging. You did make some really solid points. And I really believe that the only way that you can grow from those is to learn. So you have to hopefully go into these conversations and build a rapport that lets people know what your intentions are. If I mistake or missay something, please correct me. But if you're correcting me to, I'm hoping you're correcting me to educate me, but not, or not to really educate, I mean, correct me to make me feel a certain way. Because I always tell people when I'm working with them, hey guys, I am not attacking you. I don't want you, this is not even, I shouldn't even use the word attack. I am judging the work that you're producing. So I know you're tied to the work, but I need you to separate the two because the work at the end of the day is where we get what gets us to the finish line. So I say all that to say, you make a really solid point. And as I continue to develop as an individual and learning, as well as a project manager, there are certain things that you do have to adjust to and you have to play towards, because if you don't, you could make some people feel uncomfortable, and you hope that you've done enough work on a project to let them know if there's something I've done or said that you could come talk to me on a one-on-one basis and let's work through it. Because if we don't work through it, that means that all we do in life is we focus on the problem and we never put any energy on the solution because we've already burnt ourselves out with the problem.
You are correct. However, playing devil's advocate, this is the reason why AI is one of the top topics to talk about, because robots and AI agents don't have feelings. They don't think. They don't have that connection of a human being. So it's a cheaper resource than to hire another resource, a human being, to hear all that. With my statement of project management is an art, the reason why I say it's an art, because AI showed me it's an art, because with these investments of trying to learn who you are, learn other people, learning the room. I've been around 41 years of my life and we still haven't got it together. We're still making books about how to treat people. We're still understanding who we are as gender, as how, what word offends this person or what word doesn't offend this person. And that's why I feel, and I believe that's why AI is playing a huge part in our lives, because it takes away all those issues.
Very interesting. So do you reckon people will be less offended to hear certain things from AI than humans? What do you think about that?
I feel that if we don't regulate AI in a perspective where we keep it as a tool, then AI will eventually take over as someone who's smarter than us. Like right now, if you think about it, and if you dig down through history, we are the most intellectual species on Earth, besides apes. So we're building something smarter than us. So that means we're building our successor species in that environment. And that's why we have to have those understanding of having ethics in AI, especially in project management, because what we're investing here, we're investing our time on a weekend to make ourselves a better version of ourselves, to talk about issues that we have experienced and flaws that we have within ourselves. So by using AI, to me, this will help in taking those issues away.
Do you reckon that we will not always have the people? I think the people problem, because it's an agile, evolving problem, I think it's always going to be there. I think there's always going to be the possibility of misconstruing what someone said. There's always going to be the ability to offend, no matter how sophisticated we are technology-wise there. Except we all have microchips in our heads that are regulating what we say.
It's we could actually say that now. Now we could actually say that. And this is a, in my opinion, this is a good time to be alive because we're experiencing the AI race with other countries besides us. We could actually say that now. Some dude inserted a microchip into another dude's mind to move something without even touching it.
That's
so
wild.
20 years ago, that was science fiction, and all of us will be laughing about what you just said, Phil. Now it's true facts of where we're going as far as how AI will play into our lives, both the personal and a business side. Absolutely. Now, if you really sit down and understand AI and go down that rabbit hole of AI, project managers are very important. California had their AI summit this past week. And believe it or not, the person leading the conversation is a project manager. So as AI is inserted into areas of the business, project management and project managers will be valued at the most during this AI evolution of us.
Absolutely. For those who are just joining, you're hearing my buddy Daryl speaking about the world of AI and how it will affect things in the grand scheme. We also have Ed on the call. We're about to round up. So the summary of what you've been hearing and our debate in this topic, how to be a vocal PM when you have nothing to say, it really boils down to, if it's value, say it. If it's not value, you might want to hold it close to the vest, especially if value is perceptual in this context. What you have to say, if it's controversial, you might not want to tread that boldly, tread very carefully, and keep what you have in mind as close to the vest as possible. Thank you. All right, my friend. So here's a conclusion. Number one, active listening and summarization is important. Play your role. Number two, be a facilitator, as Ed said. Number three, provide updates. Number four, share insights and learnings. Facilitate problem solving. Provide support and encouragement. Reiterate goals and objectives. Summarize and confirm action items. And engage one-on-one. It doesn't always have to be in the meeting. Thank you very much. We'll see you again in another adventure soon.